We will now call the board meeting to order, and may we please stand and pledge allegiance to the flag. And please remain standing as the invocation will be given by Pastor Wayne, Bridegroom of Central Grace Community Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, it is always a delight to be here because you have instructed us in no uncertain terms that there is such a thing as authority and it is for our common good. And Lord, as I think of these men in front of us, I think of the weight of responsibility that they bear. There's over 500,000 people in this county, and so it's not just casually, but Father, with a deep sense of responsibility, that I pray for wisdom for them, not just in this meeting, but Father, as they tackle issues year in and year out. Lord, thank you so much for them. Father, thank you that it was a result of a county effort that this effort on prevention is in progress. And we continue to pray that you would put the pieces of that huge jigsaw puzzle together in a way that would glorify you and that would enable those of us in this county to just rejoice in the good things that are happening. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this marvelous season. We praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Bless you, gentlemen.
We will now go to presentation A, Stanislaus County Law Library, 2015-16 annual report.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, CEO Rising, hi Jack, County Council. My name's Jan Schmidt, and I'm the Director of the Stanislaus County Law Library. Thank you for this opportunity to come today and talk to you a little bit about the services that we offer the residents of Stanislaus County. The Stanislaus County Law Library was established by the Board of Supervisors in 1893. So for more than 100 years, we've operated to provide free access to legal information. As an institution, we strongly believe that being able to obtain legal information is an absolutely essential component of access to justice. Without access, there really can be no justice. The law library is operated by a very small but dedicated staff consisting of a director and one full-time reference assistant. We're governed by an equally dedicated 7-member Board of Trustees. Our Board of Trustees is comprised of 4 Superior Court judges and 3 attorneys. Talk about a tough audience. County Council serves as the appointee of the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, and we're lucky to have him here today. All of our trustees serve without compensation, and they give very generously of their time and their talent to ensure that the law library is able to provide residents with the legal materials that they need. Many people believe that the law library is just for attorneys, and while we do have many materials that cater to judges and attorneys, as you saw in our mission statement, what we really exist for is to help the public and all members of the public access the judicial system. This includes government employees, self-represented litigants, business persons, and attorneys and judges. Last year, we were able to provide service to more than 7,000 patrons. Only half of those were attorneys. The other half consisted of members of the public who had a particular legal interest and either did not have an attorney or could not afford an attorney. Because our patronage is so diverse, we try to maintain a collection that covers a wide variety of topics. Our print collection consists of nearly 15,000 volumes. In addition, we subscribe to a number of legal databases that cover the laws and rules of all 50 states and federal jurisdictions. We've partnered with some larger law libraries like Los Angeles County in order to obtain some more esoteric materials and specialty collections that we simply can't afford to provide. And although we've had to make numerous collection cuts, we're very proud to be able to provide meaningful resources in nearly every area of the law. In addition to our reference material, we offer a number of other services. We offer computer access for legal research, document delivery service, which is a remote service, copying, fax, print, and research classes. In addition, we have conference and meeting rooms that are available for rent for legal matters, depositions, or legal studies. Law library funding is often misunderstood. Many people believe that we receive part of the library tax or that we're part of the general fund. We are actually funded by a very small portion of civil court filing fees. We operate on about $29 per first filing at the court. This accounts for about 89% of our revenue. We do charge a nominal fee for some services, such as our conference rooms, but it really comes out to a very small piece of the fiscal picture. Stanislaus County provides a building for the law library and also provides numerous other services that are allowed by the Business and Professions Code, things like payroll, auditing, CEO and human resources, janitorial services, and other services of this nature. We are very fortunate to have an excellent working relationship with the county, and we are extremely grateful for that ongoing partnership and for your support of our mission. Because without this relationship and without your support, we simply would not be able to provide the citizens of Stanislaus County with access or meaningful access to legal information. This representation really shows how much law libraries are dependent on filing fees for their existence. The impact of this reliance is that when the funding crisis hit the state courts, it hit law libraries significantly. Over the last 10 years, law libraries across the state have suffered a debilitating loss of funding. Statewide, filing fees dropped more than 40%. This means that our revenue dropped by more than 40%. And as with other types of funding, these cuts hit Valley counties the hardest. San Joaquin, Merced, Stanislaus County suffered more than 50% of a cut in their filing fee revenues. In Stanislaus County, this translates to about a loss of $180,000 per year. In order to combat some of these devastating impacts, we've done a number of things as a library and as a member of the California Council of County Law Libraries. Last year, our trustees, with input from interested members of the public, including Supervisor DeMartini, who has long been a supporter of the law library and attends all of our meetings, but our trustees spent numerous hours attending months of meetings, again without compensation, in order to develop a strategic plan that will hopefully help the law library keep its doors open and succeed over the next several years. In terms of revenue, Stanislaus and other county law libraries have been meeting with state legislators to seek funding in the governor's budget. We've increased our service fees and attempted private fundraising. In order to contain costs, we've cut our collections, reduced staff hours, and negotiated reductions with publishers. Last year, the law library's reduced costs and utilization of fund balance helped us meet the rising cost of our operations. This resulted in a second year of stable revenue and expenditures. And this really is just a snapshot of where we wound up at the end of the fiscal year. Thank you again for allowing me to spend a few minutes talking about the law library. I would invite each of you to please come take a tour, schedule some time to sit down and talk about the services that we provide to your constituents. We'd be happy to have you. We're located at 13th and K, and really we are here to serve. As librarians, we wait for the questions to come to us. So send your constituents down or come down if you have a legal need yourself, and we're happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. Any board member have a comment or question?
Yeah, I just have a few comments there. So, I've attended almost all the law library meetings in the past 12 years, and you touched on the lack of funding for the libraries.
The problem there is about as bad as it can get. The law library has been going in the reserves now for several years, and it's been very difficult to keep the services up to the levels that they are. And there's been a lot of cuts and going in the reserves besides. So this takes a fix from the state legislature. As she said, the library is funded only through filing fees, and the filing fees are just stuck at one rate. And they need to go up a little bit and to fund these libraries adequately. So there's nothing we can do on it there except advocate for some state fix to the problem.
Yes.
We appreciate Jim serving all he does on that committee with the law library. I just wanted real quick, Janice, it used to be the tax code used to be there. Do you guys still have, I looked at the resources there. And you used to have, I don't know what it was, CCH or something like that, the tax code was there. Because I know I used it 25 years ago when I started my firm and I couldn't afford a library. When I first started, I remember going there and using it. And I don't know if you guys still have that there.
We still have CCH in print through about 2007 and then online from 2007 to now.
Great, yeah. And that's probably your most important asset for the accountants in town. That's very good. Thank you.
Anyone else have any comment?
The law library is for everybody, even for attorneys.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you for your many services that you provide for Stanislaus County, and we thank you for the report.
Well, thank you very much. And again, thank you so much for your support. It's important to our mission.
Thank you. We now will go to the Transportation Development Act and the unmet transportation needs process.
Thank you, Chairman Monteith, and good morning to you, members of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. My name is Stephen Hanamaikai, and I'm a planner with STANCOG, Stanislaus Council of Governments. And I'm going to take some time today to present to you about the Transportation Development Act and the Unmet Transit Needs Assessment process. As this board is well aware, STANCOG is a joint powers authority with representatives from each county as well as from each city as well as the county. We serve as the Metropolitan Planning Organization and Regional Transportation Planning Agency for the Stanislaus region. We're responsible for addressing regional transportation issues, including those related to public transit. In regards to public transit, STANCOG administers the Transportation Development Act funds, which has two funding sources, the Local Transportation Fund, which is derived from a quarter-cent sales tax measure applied statewide, as well as the State Transit Assistance Fund, which is derived from a statewide sales tax on gas and diesel. STANCOG has certain responsibilities when it comes to the Transportation Development Act. Every 5 years, the terms unmet transit needs and reasonable to meet must be revisited by STANCOG. Annually, STANCOG is required to conduct at least one public hearing for the purpose of soliciting potential unmet transit needs and to develop the unmet transit needs identification and analysis report. Essentially, the purpose of this is to gather information on how public transit services, such as traditional fixed route or specialized transit, such as dial ride or paratransit, are meeting the needs of populations in the county who are dependent on those services to meet their critical needs, such as getting to the doctor, pharmacy, or grocery shopping. If there are improvements that need to be made to allow for these transit-dependent populations to meet their critical needs, these improvements must be funded with local transportation funds prior to those funds being used for non-transit purposes. There are four major steps to the unmet transit needs assessment process. Public hearings are held to receive comments about potential unmet transit needs. Potential unmet transit needs are then analyzed according to STANCOG's adopted definitions. And finally, any unmet transit need determined reasonable to meet is funded prior to local transportation funds being distributed to non-transit purposes. Currently, we are in the public hearings phase of the process. In addition to these formal public hearings, STANCOG staff, with the help from staff from MOVE, our Consolidated Transportation Services Agency, as well as staff from the region's transit operators, are giving small group presentations to congregate meal sites and other assisted living sites, to other community-based organizations to ensure that we're providing ample opportunity for these populations to submit potential unmet transit needs for this assessment. STANCOG has already conducted two public hearings, the first being at the STANCOG Policy Board in October. The second was recently in November in Oakdale, and we will be holding our final public hearing on January 11th in Patterson at the Hammond Senior Center from 6 to 7 p.m. We're hoping to help spread the word and encourage those that may have a need to come out and provide their comments. This will conclude my presentation. I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Any member of the board wishing to make any comment? Or
can I just ask what kind of turnout we've had at the two meetings?
The two meetings, they've been sparsely attended.
Sparsely attended.
Yes. The congregate meal sites, the smaller presentations are really where we are getting some of the better input. Seems to be going out to them is more effective than asking them to come to us.
We've continually struggled with this in the past, trying to get people to show up, and I know we make the effort. I know we do. So I'm going to assume that that's a good sign that we're meeting the unmet transit needs. So.
It is.
Anyone else wishing to make comment on the board? If not, we want to thank you for the information and thank you very much for the report and keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Thank you. We now will go into public comment. Anyone wishing to make a comment on anything on not today's agenda has 5 minutes to come up and address the issues. If there are none, then we will go to the consent calendar. Anyone on the board wishing to pull or make any? Open it to the public. Before the board takes action on the consent calendar, does anyone in the audience wish to make a comment or have a question on any matter on the consent calendar? If not, we'll bring it back to the board, and what's your pleasure?
A motion to approve consent calendar.
There a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? It is now passed. We will now go to the correspondence.
This board has received a worker adjustment and retraining notification letter from Blue Scope Buildings North America, Inc. regarding the closure of its facilities located at 530 South Tegner Road in Turlock and the permanent layoff of employees at this location on March 3, 2017.
Refer to the Alliance Network and Workforce Development Board.
This board has received from the Community Services Agency a copy of the fiscal year 2015-2016 annual audit of the Child Care and Development Alternate Payment Program Stage 2 and 3 contracts.
Acknowledge receipt of report.
This board has received the claim as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Does anyone on the board have a report today? Yes.
I have. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to report that the Westside Healthcare Task Force has completed its art and essay contest this year, and I have started yesterday into distributing the awards for the winning students who participated in that. We make a very nice calendar every year from the artwork that's provided, which Mr. Keith Boggs puts together for us. Yesterday, I presented the awards in Gustine, which is part of our group. I know it's in Merced County, but we go there anyway. And then last night in Newman, and I will do Patterson on Thursday. So we had hundreds of entries this year, probably about 400. So we judged them, put a calendar together, and we give awards. And the theme is always on diet and exercise. So we're trying to instill in the kids, you know, sense of eating right and exercising.
Well, that's congratulations.
Our goal.
Congratulations.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else have a report?
Yes, sir. I would just like to remind everyone, December 16th, the Stockton Memorial Civic Auditorium. It's an opportunity to get before the State Water Board for the revised draft order proceedings on the substitute environmental document. Then December 19th at the Multicultural Arts Center in Merced County. And on December 20th, which is Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, I guess today's Tuesday, it's the Modesto Center Plaza here in the Tuolumne Room. Please, if I can, you know, implore everyone to show up. It is very, very important for our economic well-being long-term. So, thank you.
Anyone else wishing to give a report? If not, then we'll go to the Legislative, Fiscal, and Management Report. Chief Executive Officer.
Yeah, just a few things this morning, Chairman. First of all, I forgot to mention last week, but Supervisor Chiesa, Supervisor DeMartini, and myself attended the CSAC annual conference a couple weeks ago, and just wanted to report that out. State legislature got back into session a week ago on December 5th for the 17-18 legislative session. They've already managed to introduce 150 new bills, so we'll be trying to track to make sure there's not too much damage contained in those bills. The federal government, a couple things popping. Congress passed a spending bill that will keep the federal government running now until April 28th of 2017. But more importantly, they passed a $12 billion water bill that's now headed to the president's desk that should bring more water to flow into our drought-stricken valley. And so we appreciate the support of Representative Kevin McCarthy and Senator Dianne Feinstein on that.
I'd also like to add that the state legislators have always had a maximum quota of 40 bills each year that they could present. That has now been increased to 50 bills per legislator. And if there are no other reports, this meeting is adjourned.
Wait a minute. Closed session?
Yes, I announced that afterward. Closed session and County Council?
Yes, Mr. Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, we have a closed session this morning. First is conference with legal counsel to discuss significant exposure to litigation involving one case. This will be held pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D2. We do not expect a report out on that matter. The other two items listed on the agenda for closed session will be postponed and addressed at a later date and will not be considered today. With that, it would be appropriate to ask if there are any public comments on the one matter we will discuss in closed session. If not, we will adjourn to closed session.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.